I got the shock of my life when I found out that my husband and I were having identical twins. So that was kind of the beginning of this journey of realizing that I was not in control. So we already had two boys, and then we found out we were having identical twin boys, so we have four. But it became clear after a couple of years of working full time that my family needed something different because we were just running at a breakneck pace all the time.
Me and my wife, we always thought that we would have this model family, you know, son, daughter. They would go off to school and high school and graduate with no problems, and life would just be great. But our daughter, we began to start having problems in middle school. And then she started going down, hanging out with some people we felt like she should hang around with. And the next thing we know, she had this kid, and we get a call that she wasn't doing the right by the kids. So we end up bringing DeMichael into the household with us.
Well, I don't have kids. I'm a college student and going into my junior year. But my freshman year, I went in as a bio major. And I took AP classes all through high school and science and stuff like that. And I really wanted to be an orthodontist because you make good money. After my first semester, I just didn't have the grades. I didn't have the heart either. I hated the science classes I was taking. It just wasn't fun. School wasn't fun for me. One of my friends told me about art therapy. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, maybe I'll look into that.
So the other event that happened that was pretty major is that last year, after some developmental delays that have been going on with my twins since they were real little, they were diagnosed on the autism spectrum.
Probably one of the most significant within the last several years. Like I said, there have been many over my life, but 2015, I was 25 years into a career with the company, and they were in the purchase of being bought out, and we knew that there was something going on. But yeah, I got a call on a Wednesday afternoon at 1:15 that I was done working for them at 5 p.m. that night. Who plans for that?
You guys are here, and man, you can really relate to that. I mean, your story's a little bit different, but man, there have just been some unexpected things that you've experienced, and that just kind of resonates with you. Well, it's good to have you here today. You know, sometimes we end up at a crossroads in our lives. Sometimes we end up at a fork in the road, and we've got to decide whether we're going to keep going the direction that we're going, or we're going to head off this direction, or we're going to head off this other direction. Sometimes we find ourselves on a path, regardless of our age. We may be in high school, maybe in college, maybe in 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it is. We find ourselves on a path where things really are not going that great, but you know, it's what we've been doing with our life, and we just assume that that's the path that we're going to stay on. You know, it may not be getting us quite where we're wanting to go, but that's, you know, it's just what we know. Sometimes we find ourselves on a path where things are going well. Actually, they may be going great, but what if? What if there's something else for you? Sometimes we find ourselves on a path that, I mean, it's nothing like what we expected to be on. I mean, maybe we got in with the wrong crowd. We made some bad choices, and things have just gotten kind of messed up for us. Maybe we got into drinking too much. Maybe we stepped into an unhealthy relationship. That unhealthy relationship, for some reason, seemed to lead to another unhealthy relationship, and we just kind of stayed in that pattern. Maybe we dropped out of school. Maybe we dropped out of college. Maybe we quit a job, and it was a great job. I mean, it had a future with it, and yet we got frustrated with our boss, and so we just kind of blew the job off. But we really haven't found another job quite like that. And ever since that time, we haven't been able to get our lives on track. We've just kind of been floundering through life. Maybe it's an unexpected pregnancy. Maybe it's an unexpected situation of some kind, divorce that you went through. But the reality is, right now in your life, you feel kind of stalled. You feel kind of stuck in your life. Sometimes we end up on a path that we planned out. I mean, we mapped the whole path that we're on out ahead of time. And we knew the school that we wanted to go to, the college. We knew the degree that we wanted. We knew what organization, what company we wanted to be a part of, the business that we wanted to start. I mean, there was a plan, and we have been working that plan in our lives. But what if? What if there's something more? What if there's something different? What if there's something better? Some of you started out on a path, and you had that path planned out, but life threw you some curves. And the path that you're on now doesn't look at all like the path that you started out on. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe the career that you started down, man, it just didn't turn out to be quite what you were expecting it to be. Maybe you went through some losses, maybe some financial setbacks. Maybe you lost somebody in your life, a loved one. Maybe a relationship fell apart. Some of us have just been bouncing. I mean, we're just bouncing all around like a ball in a pinball machine. It's just bouncing. It's just all over the place. And there's never really been a sense of clarity as to the direction, the path of your life. But maybe every so often you find yourself wondering, I wonder if this is really the path for me. I wonder if this path that I'm on, I wonder if this is the direction that I really need to be heading in my life. And then most of the time, I mean, you feel good about it. I mean, you're content. You feel comfortable with it. I mean, it feels safe, right? I mean, it's what you know. You're familiar with it. But a lot of times, in fact, I would say probably most of the time, but certainly a lot of times, the path, the plan that God has for us is very different than the path that we started out on. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the path that you're on. I mean, it's okay. It may be good. It's fine. It's just not the path that God has for you. But some of us, let's be honest, some of us, the path that we're on, it's a dead-end road. I mean, it's not getting you where you want to go. It's certainly not getting you where God wants you to go. A lot of times, the path that we start out on, the path maybe that we're on right now in our life, doesn't end up being the path that God has for us. It's not the dream. It's not the plan that He has for our lives. And so the big question for us is, are we open to that? Are you open to that possibility? I'm not saying that God necessarily has a different plan for you, but if there is a new, a different, an unexpected plan that God might have for your life, are you open to that possibility? Are you open to the possibility God may want to redirect your life in a new direction, in a new path, in an unexpected path you didn't see coming? Are you open to that possibility? Are you open? A couple years ago, our youngest son graduated from high school. He was the last one in our family, so we became empty nesters. That was the plan, and we were enjoying the plan. I kind of liked that phase of our life. It was just my wife and me. We were enjoying that. And then earlier this year, God kind of unexpectedly opened a door for us to bring two foster kids into our home. It was totally unexpected, and it has totally changed our life. Are you open to God doing something new, to God doing something different, to God doing something unexpected in your life? You know, throughout this year, we've had this theme. This is this big question, such a powerful question. The truth is, we need to live our lives asking and answering this question, and then acting on the answer to this question. The question that we've been asking ourselves, that I've been challenging you to ask yourself in the different situation of your life, is: what does love require me? What does love require me right here in this situation on my job? What does it require me in my family? What does it require me in this situation right here? And throughout, we've said that if we're going to be right with God, if we're going to get our lives right with God, then we've got to place our faith, our trust, our confidence in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross for our sins, for us to have new life, and then coming back to life, offering us this new opportunity. Once we do that, once we place our faith in Jesus, we establish that relationship with God. If we're going to enjoy that relationship, if we're going to walk in unbroken fellowship with God, then we need to follow Jesus. We need to follow the Jesus way. And Jesus said that if we truly love God, then we're going to obey his commands. We're going to follow his ways. We're going to live on the path that God wants us to follow, to live on. What's interesting is that as we look at Scripture, so many of the individuals that God used significantly, they started out their lives on one path, and then something happened, a lot of times very unexpectedly in their life, and all of a sudden, they end up on a new path, a different path than they had ever assumed they would be on in their life. I mean, think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was a guy, his father was a shepherd. He had this big clan of brothers. They were all shepherds. I would feel quite confident in saying he probably thought that he was going to grow up to be a shepherd. He probably never expected that his own brothers would sell him into slavery. And as a result of that, he ends up in Egypt, a slave, serving in the household of a high-level Egyptian official. Didn't expect to be there. Certainly, probably didn't then expect that he would be falsely accused of attempting to rape his boss's wife, and he ends up in an Egyptian prison. I'm very confident that he never thought he would go from the dungeon of this Egyptian prison in just a matter of days to becoming the second in command in Egypt under the Pharaoh himself. Faced all kinds of unexpected situations in his life, and yet all along the way, he trusted God and God used him in an amazing way. Think about Moses. Moses grew up in the palaces of Egypt. The training, the education of royalty, and then through some unexpected events that took place, he ends up out on the backside of nowhere, out in the wilderness for 40, think about it, 40 long years tending sheep. After a while, I would presume that he probably got to thinking, this is just going to be my lot. This is how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Found a wife, had kids, this is going to be it. When all of a sudden, God unexpectedly kind of steps in essence says, I'm not done with you yet, Moses. I want you to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. Think about David. He was just a young shepherd boy. And he unexpectedly becomes the king of Israel. Think about Jesus, his inner circle, his 12. I mean, they're out, these guys are out living their life, doing their thing, pursuing different careers, different paths in their life, when all of a sudden Jesus unexpectedly calls them to follow him. And they do it. They drop everything. They leave everything behind. And they begin to follow Jesus. Ultimately, you know what happens to these guys? Ultimately, they end up sacrificing their lives, almost every one of them, to communicate the message of hope that this Jesus who died on the cross came back to life, and he offers individuals real life and hope. Jesus' own brothers, James and Jude, they didn't even believe that he was God in human flesh. Until something unexpected happened. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus comes back to life and his own brother's like, oh my goodness, we didn't believe in him. And they unexpectedly become leaders in this new movement that we now look back to and we refer to as Christianity. Think about the Apostle Paul. And we know him as the Apostle Paul. But he was this young, go-getter, focused, intellectual. I mean, he was on the fast track to the top in the Jewish religious establishment. I mean, he was so fired up about what he was doing, so convinced that what he was doing was right. He was out persecuting Christians till all of a sudden, one day, unexpectedly, Jesus gets his attention, and it changes the whole course of his life, and he ends up starting, man, who knows how many churches, probably hundreds of churches, and writing some over half of the New Testament. Sometimes the path that we start off on in our life, maybe the path that we're on in our life doesn't end up being the path that God has for us. Are you open to that? Are you open to the possibility that God may have something new, something different, something unexpected? for your life. You know how a lot of us live? We live our lives thinking that if we live the Christian life, if we follow Jesus with our life, everything is going to be easier. Everything is going to be smoother. Everything is going to be better in our life. Let me let you in on something. Here's a warning for you. If you decide to follow Jesus truly in your life, everything isn't always easier. Everything isn't always more comfortable. Sometimes, almost invariably, there will be sacrifices. You will be asked to step out of your comfort zone. You will be stretched sometimes to the limit in your life. But as counterintuitive as it may sound to you, it will be worth it because you are pursuing what God has for your life. Now, I realize there may be some of you here today and you're kind of new coming back to church. You're kind of trying to figure this whole Jesus thing out, and you're going, wow, I don't know about all this. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about the plan that I'm on, the path that I'm on in my life. Or maybe you're here and you're on the other side of that. You're like, you know, that doesn't sound too bad. I'd like a new path for my life. Here's what you need to understand either way. Jesus himself claimed, you don't have to agree with what Jesus claimed, but Jesus claimed that to find a full and complete life, you're only going to do that through him. He claimed you're only going to find the life that you're looking for as you follow him. So what does that look like? What I want to do today is I want to look at the words of Jesus himself to try to figure that out and shed some light on that. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Matthew chapter 16, I want to read you these verses, and then we're going to come back and we're going to unpack these verses. But this is the centerpiece to everything that we're going to look at today. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, and a disciple is simply a follower. So Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. It goes on in verse 25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, in those verses, we find four actions that we need to take if we're going to live our lives open to what God wants to do in our life, open to the life that God has for us. Number one, Jesus says we need to deny ourselves. We need to deny ourselves. Look at the verse again. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must, key word there, this is not optional, must deny themselves. Now, what it's getting at is that instead of prioritizing ourselves, what we need to do is we need to live our lives prioritizing God. But the truth is, most of us, even as Christians, for most of us, that just doesn't always settle that well. Because the truth of the matter is, we are on a quest. We're on a quest for happiness. Aren't we? I mean, isn't that what we are pursuing, what so many of us want in our life? I mean, we are looking for happiness. It's all about my happiness. It's about what makes me feel good. It's about what's going to make me feel happy. And we're pretty confident that we know what's best for ourselves. We're pretty confident that we know what it is that's going to make us happy. And as a result of that, what we typically pray to God is something, it may not be these exact words, but we say, God, I want you to bless my plans. God, I want you to bless my dreams. God, I want you to bless my goals. God, make me successful in what I want to do. And living that way, the truth is most of us have experienced some temporary, momentary gratification and happiness. But it dissipates. Time after time after time, we drift back towards dissatisfaction. So God says there's something better. And how you get there may be counterintuitive as just about everything that we're talking about today. is, but it will lead to greater joy and peace and significant than anything you have ever pursued in your life. But the key is we have got to stop making self the center of our lives. We've got to stop making self the center of our decisions, the center of our focus. And that's hard for most of us. You know why? Because that's just kind of our default setting in life. It's all about me and what I want, my dreams, my happiness. But Jesus says that in order to experience the best life, not necessarily the easiest life, not necessarily the most comfortable life, the most convenient life, but in order to experience the best life, instead of prioritizing my goals and my dreams and my plans and my ambitions, what I've got to do is I need to prioritize Him. I need to deny myself and I need to prioritize God in my life. When you walked in today, you were handed a little rock, or you picked up a rock. Hopefully you got that. This rock, by the way, was not given to you to throw at me. Okay, just clarifying. Let's just say, keep that clear, what I just said. Let's just say that this rock right here, this little stone, represents kind of your life, your plans, the path that you're on, your goals, your ambitions, the desires, the aspirations that you have in your life. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives with a clenched fist, holding onto our goals, our dreams, our plan, our ambitions tightly, with a clenched fist? I'm going to control everything. I want to call the shots in my life. It's going to be my way. And what I want to do is I want to live dictating to God what my life is going to be, the direction of my life. I'm going to live my life telling God what He needs to bless, telling God what I'm going to do with my life. Am I going to live my life with a clenched fist, closed-fisted? Or am I going to live my life open-handed, saying, God, here are my plans, here are the dreams, here are the goals, the aspirations that I've had in my life. This is where I thought I was going, God, but the truth is, I don't want to live close-fisted. I don't want to live with a clenched fist, trying to call the shots, thinking that I know more than You. God, I want to live open-handed. So God, here they are, all the dreams, the goals, the ambitions. God, I want Your way, not my way. More than anything else in my life, I want Your way. It may be new. It may be different. It may be unexpected, but God, that's what I want. And when we live open-handedly, what is often going to happen is God is going to throw some unexpected twists in our lives. But are we open to that? Are we going to live our lives like this, with a clenched fist going my way or the highway? Or are we going to live our lives saying, God, here it is, open-handed, my life is Yours. I want Your way, not my way. Jesus said, if we're going to experience the life that we're looking for, we have got to deny ourselves. Number two, the second thing that Jesus said we've got to do if we're going to live with an open hand and experience the life that He has for us. Number two, He said, we need to take up our cross. We need to take up our cross. Look back at the verse. You said, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves and take up their cross. Now, this statement was made before Jesus was crucified on the cross. So as people heard this statement, they would not have associated the statement with Jesus' crucifixion. But they all knew what taking up the cross meant. If you lived under the Roman Empire in that day and time, you had seen this happen plenty of times. You had seen people lugging the crossbar to the cross that they themselves were going to be crucified on. They understood the meaning of this statement right here. They understood that what He was saying was, you've got to be willing to sacrifice even your life if necessary. And in this case, we've got to be willing to sacrifice our life for Him if that's necessary. What Jesus is doing right here is Jesus is calling us to total commitment. Not half-hearted commitment, not partial commitment, not to be committed when it's comfortable, not to be committed when it's easy, not just to be committed when it's convenient for us. But what he's calling us to right here is he is calling each one of us to total, to give everything, to total commitment, even if it means death. You see, God didn't call us to survive this world, but to change this world. Jesus called each of us to be change agents in our world, in our culture, in our society. So we've got to shift our focus from comfort and convenience and stability and security to sacrifice and service and even hardship and discomfort if needed. But a lot of us don't like that brand of Christianity. We would prefer Christianity light, where it's all about smiles and everything is fine. But everything wasn't smiles and everything wasn't fine with Jesus. He ended up on a cross. We've got to shift our focus from wanting what we want, from wanting our way, to following in the ways of Jesus. To shift our focus to following his principles, his guidelines, and his teaching, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not convenient, even when it's not easy. See, we're kind of like rubber bands. You know, when a rubber band isn't stretched, when it's just sitting there, it's just there. It's static. Not much to it. But the more you stretch a rubber band, the more you stretch it, the further it can fly. Get anybody? What God wants to do in our lives, what God will do in your life if you're open to it, it may not always be comfortable. What God wants to do is he wants to stretch you. And through the stretching, we grow. And through the stretching, we gain strength. And through, even at times, the pain and the discomfort, God goes developing us. Through that stretching and us taking up the cross and being willing to go through discomfort, he stretches us to the point that we can fly and we can make a difference for him. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And it's as we live that way, allowing God to stretch us, living with open hands, that we find the life, the real life we have been looking for. But a lot of us always want life to be comfortable and easy. And what Jesus is saying is if we're going to find life, it's going to take living open-handed. It's going to take being willing to get our hands and our lives a little dirty at times. It's going to be risky at times. There are going to be challenges at times. There may even be pain that we go through in our lives. Crosses are painful. Crosses are not comfortable. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. But it is going to be worth it. Because we will be pursuing something bigger than ourselves. So Jesus said, you want to experience life, the real life, you got to deny yourself. Whew, that's tough. He says, you want to follow me, you want to experience life, you got to take up your cross. And he says, the third thing we need to do is we need to follow. We need to follow him. We need to follow Jesus. He goes on the verse and says, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. And what's the word? And what? What? Follow me. Follow me. So if we're truly authentic Christians, we are going to live our lives following Jesus. And if we're following Jesus, that should be reflected in how we love God and how we love the people around us, because Jesus said that if we truly love God, then we're going to love the people in our lives. If we truly love God, we're going to obey his commands. And the command scripture tells us that fulfills all the other commands is a command to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so there is a sense in which as we love people in our lives, we are loving God. We demonstrate, we illustrate, we authenticate our love and our devotion to God by loving the people in our lives. We can't truly love God. We can't truly follow Jesus without loving the people in our lives. And loving God and loving people and following Jesus' example will mean holding things loosely. It will mean living our lives with open hands, being open to the possibility that God may have something different. Something new, something unexpected, some unexpected path for our lives. But the truth is, for a lot of us, we don't follow Jesus. Jesus and his ways, his priorities, they don't drive. They don't define who we are and the decisions that we make. We follow culture. We follow the crowd. We just do what everybody else around us is doing. How we use our time, how we spend our money, how we raise our kids, that's not driven by God. It's driven by what everybody else is doing, what our friends are doing, what other parents are doing. How we do business and interact with people at work, it isn't driven by Jesus. In so many cases, it's just driven by what everybody else is doing out in the business world. Growing up, I had a number of friends. I'd go over to their house, we'd walk into their bedroom, and they had posters on their walls. And you can tell a lot about what a person's about through the posters that they had. And someone would have a favorite athlete that was hanging on the wall. Someone, there was a band. If their parents somehow allowed it, they got by with it. They had some beautiful, scantily clad model or whatever hanging on the wall, and that was kind of their thing. And some of the girls that I knew, they had whoever the latest teen heartthrob was hanging on their wall. But you'd tell what was going on. I mean, you would walk in, you'd say, "Oh man, this guy's really into basketball. This guy's into football. This guy's into soccer. Man, they are into music deal. This is the band that they're into." They had these posters on their wall. You could tell a lot about them. My question for us is, what is the poster that's hanging on the wall of your heart? Nobody sees those posters, but we all have those posters. We all have posters on the wall of our heart. What's the poster on the wall of your heart that defines you, that defines how you make decisions in your life? For some of us, the poster on the wall of our heart is that of the entrepreneur who made millions of dollars by the time they were 35 or whatever. And the reality is, while we may not want to acknowledge it, what defines, what drives, what dictates the decisions that we make in our lives for so many of us, it's that type of a poster that we have on our wall. What do I need to do to get ahead? What do I need to do to be able to make more money? What do I need to do to make it to the top? That's what drives a lot of us. For some of us, the poster that's hanging on the wall of our heart is that of a beautiful house, beautiful home, because we live our lives thinking that we could have a beautiful house with all the furnishings and everything, then we would have a beautiful life. For some of us, the poster that hangs on the wall of our heart is the success of our kids. So we spend all our time, we wear ourselves out trying to get our kids in the right position, at the right activities, on the right team, so that they can make it to the top, so they can, and we want to make sure they get into the right school, so that they can get the scholarship, so that then they can make it to the big time, they can make it to the big leagues. Maybe they can become celebrities in their life. For some of us, the poster that's hanging on the wall of our heart is just moving up. Keeping up or keeping ahead of the Joneses or our neighbors or a brother or sister or whoever it may be, our friends, our neighbors. What's the poster that's hanging on the wall of your heart? Nobody may see it, but it's what drives the decisions. Let's just be honest with ourselves. A lot of times what drives the decisions, what's guiding our lives, it is not Jesus. What's driving our lives a lot of times are these other things. That's what drives, that's what dictates the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis about our time, about our life, about so many things. What's the poster on the wall of your heart? What we need to do is we need to rip those posters down. And the poster that needs to be up is a poster of Jesus. He's the one that should be our hero. He's the one who should be our idol. He's the one who should be our role model. He's the one that we should be following in our life. Now, following Jesus may or may not lead to the material and career success that you thought you were going to get, you'd planned for. It may or it may not, following Jesus may or may not allow your kids to end up as a star on the varsity team. Maybe Jesus has something totally different and unexpected for you. Maybe something that you never dreamed of. Are you open to that? Are you open? And you know what? It may not be near as glamorous as what you thought it might be, maybe hoped it'd be. It may not be as comfortable as you thought. People may think the decisions that you make, maybe a decision you make to change careers midstream, the decision that you make to downsize your house in order to be able to give more to further the cause of Christ with this ministry, with this church, to push further what he is doing around the world, or that decision that you make to not take a promotion at work so that you have more time to help us start another campus, another church. People may see those decisions that you make and they may think you're crazy. And your kids, they may not end up being the celebrities maybe you were hoping that they would be. They may not end up going to every tournament or being at every activity. You may not end up having the latest, greatest of everything that you thought or you hoped that you'd have. And people, as they look at what you're doing in their life, they may think you're nuts. They may think you're crazy. But the question is, who are you following? What's the poster that's hanging on the wall of your heart? Is the poster Jesus? Or is it something or someone else? When we follow Jesus, sometimes the path will end up being very different than the path that we set out on. But it will always be worth it. Jesus said there's one more thing, a fourth thing that we see in this passage of scripture that we need to do if we're going to live open-handed. And we're going to experience the life that we so long for. And this kind of summarizes the other three. Number four, Jesus said, we need to let go of our life to gain a full life. We need to let go of our life to gain a full life. Goes on in the next verse, verse 25, and says, Jesus says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, not just for anything, but for Jesus and his cause, will find it. This is just so counterintuitive. What we want to do is we want to hold on tightly to our life. We want to call the shots. I mean, we want to control things in our life. I mean, we're okay showing up at church here and there. I mean, a little God, that never hurt anybody, a little spirituality, that's okay. Just as long as it doesn't affect our goals, just as long as it doesn't affect our decisions, just as long as it doesn't affect the direction, the lifestyle that we've been wanting to pursue in our life, the lifestyle that we've chosen. But Jesus is saying, it's as you die to yourself that you find life. That's a hard statement. It says, as we die to our ways, it's as we die to our priorities, as we die to our dreams and our ambitions, is as we hold them loosely and offer them up to God sincerely, saying, God, what do you have for my life? What are the plans? What are the dreams? What are the aspirations, God, that you have for my life? God, they may be different, they may be new, they may be unexpected, but whatever your dream is, I want your way, not my way. God, I am all in. I'm all in. That's what it means to let go of our life. Say, God, here it is. That's how we're to live. And it may end up being the path that God has for you. It may end up being less than you thought it would be. It may end up being more than you thought it would be, more demanding than you thought it would be. Most likely, it'll just be different than what you thought it would be. And you know what? I don't know exactly what that will look like on a real practical level. Some of you internally, you may go, man, does that mean I'm going to have to downsize my house and leave behind my beautiful house that I've enjoyed having? Does that mean I'm going to have to sell my nice car and drive a jalopy? Does that mean I'm going to have to quit my job and move to India or Africa or China? And the answer to that is probably not, but maybe. Probably not, but maybe. But the point is that we need to be willing to give up anything. We need to be willing to give up whatever. We need to be willing to give up whatever comfort, whatever security blanket that we've been holding on to for the sake of Christ. And that scares some of us to death. Because it means letting go of control. It means following Jesus and not knowing exactly where we're going. Following Jesus and not what we want to do. It means we've got to quit playing it safe. You see, it's a trust thing. It's a trust thing. I mean, have you ever played one of the, or not played, but have you ever been a part of one of those team building exercises where you do the trust thing, you climb up on a table or something, and you stand up there and you fall back into your team's arms? It's a scary deal because you get to the point, I mean, it looks fun and all that, and it is if they catch you. But you're standing up there, your arms crossed, and you're kind of looking back, and there comes that moment where you got to really decide, am I going to trust them? Am I going to let go and fall back and trust that they're really going to catch me and not drop me? And what God wants us to do is to trust Him. It's a trust thing. He wants us to trust that the God who knows us, the God who created us, the God who made us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who loves us more than we love ourselves, the God who has our best interests at heart, He wants us to trust that not only is He going to catch us, but that He is going to give us the life that we never had and the life that we have been looking for. Are we going to live open-handed? We're going to wrap up in just a moment. Before we do, I want you to watch the rest of the story on the video that we saw a little bit earlier. Check this out.
We feel like they are teaching us. They are molding us. And I remember having the support of a friend who reminded me that I'm not equipped for this, but that God is making me equipped for this. Like, He's chiseling away at my rough edges. He is shaping me and molding me into the mom that they need.
I prayed a lot about it and asked God, like, if this is really what He wanted. And so I made the switch. I'm now studying psychology and art. Who knows what that future might hold. But just to trust in Him and things like that. So,
looking back at that now, that was a very, very difficult time for us. But there's been so much good that's come out of it. I mean, it really, it's knit our family closer together. It's funny how your prayers are answered, because, you know, I've asked God to, you know, please help us in this journey with our finances, please help us, man, in the journey with the children, and, you know, to be a good father and to help, you know, help me make these connections with the kids that I so long for. Through that tearing down, that process of losing my job, is just, it's just sparked so much benefit in our lives. I mean, it really has. The things that have been put into place since then, that you look back now and you connect the dots, and it's like, wow, you know, how awesome is He?
And the funny part about it is that, you know, we'd heard about things like this happening, and we wanted to work real, real hard to make sure it didn't happen to us. But this situation drove me to a place of knowing God even deeper. So this, I think it goes to say that, you know, you can do your best, you can do all you can, but, you know, sometimes there, you know, life throws curveballs at you, and you just have to trust God that He can get you through it.
We're going to pray in just a moment. Sometimes we get curves thrown at us. Sometimes what God has for us is just something unexpected in our lives. We have a number of our staff here that they were living their lives on one path. They had a direction, they had a plan for their life, and they were going for it. They were working careers, doing a great job. And then it was like God unexpectedly, in essence, said, I have something else. I have a different path for your life. And you know what? They could have said, yeah, I'm not sure I want to do that with my life. And they could have continued to pursue the path, the career that they were on. And probably would have been very successful and probably would have had a lot more than they have now, a lot more stuff. But in essence, what they said is, I don't want to live that way. They were living their lives saying, I want to live an open-handed life. And they, in essence, said, God, what I want is your way, not my way. And it's not about being on staff. It's not about being a pastor. It's whether you're in construction, whether you're in business, whether you're a teacher, whatever it is, how are you going to live our lives? It's about saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to live with an open hand. I want to live saying, God, I want your way, not my way. You see, the Jesus way is the open-handed way that says, your way, not my way. That's the Jesus way. It's the open-handed way. It says, God, I want your way. I want your plan for my life more than I want my plan. I don't want to live tight-fistedly. I don't want that. God, I want to live open-handedly. Jesus said, if we're going to find life, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. We need to let go of our life, He said, to find real life. And sometimes we live the Jesus way, the open-handed way, saying your way, not my way. Sometimes that way, that path will look very similar to the path that you're actually on right now. Sometimes it will look very different. Unexpectedly different. But either way, internally, it will be totally different because you will be on the path that God has for you. And there is nothing better than that. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus said, you gotta let go of your life to find real life. And as counterintuitive as that may sound and seem, that's where relationship with God starts. If you're here today and you never opened your heart, your life up to Jesus, you could pray if you're ready to do that and say, Jesus, I want to let go of calling the shots. I want to let go of control in my life. I want your way, not my way. So God, today, best I know how, I am placing my trust, my faith in Jesus and what He did by dying on the cross and coming back to life. I want Him to be the Savior of my life. God, today I'm accepting your gift of forgiveness. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your peace. I want to follow you. If you're here and you're a Christian, would you pray to God and say, God, I don't want to live closed-fisted. For some of us, that's tough because we've been holding on tightly to our plans, to our dream. Maybe it needs to begin by saying, God, I want you to pry my fingers open so I can live open-handed. God, that's where I want to be. That's how I want to live. I want to live open-handed, saying, God, I want your way, not my way. More than I want my dreams, my plan, my agenda, I want your plan. Even if it means something new, something different, something unexpected. God, I don't want to live with any poster hanging on the wall of my heart than Jesus. I want my life to be about following Him. God, thank you for what you're doing in individuals' hearts right here, right now. Thank you for what you're going to do the coming days and weeks as we live our lives open-handed, saying, I want your way, not my way. In Jesus' name, amen.